Invite you to open your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Reading together just the opening few verses. Verses that deal with the patriarch Isaac. He's an old man. You might be old in this meeting, but you're not as old as Isaac was whenever he spoke the words that we're going to look at tonight. You might feel like he felt. You might feel that your eyes are getting dim. Well, he didn't just feel it. It was a reality with him. And he couldn't see the best. And the age was creeping on. And the infirmity of old age was there. And we're told about this old man, Isaac. And we're reading verses 1 through to 4. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Ending the reading at verse 4. Shall we pray? Let's look to the Lord in these minutes that we spend in the Word of God this evening, that the Lord might direct our way. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt be with us in the Word. We thank thee for the Bible, the book that God has given. We recognize that this word is inspired. Every word has been given. We thank thee that God moved holy men of old to write down his word. We praise thee for the preservation of thy word through the ages. And though men have sought to banish it, ban it, burn it, we still have it today. For the word of God will never pass away. And thou wilt preserve thy truth. And Lord, as we think of the gospel tonight, we thank thee that the gospel is good news. Good news that men do not need to die in their sin, but that there is a way that has been opened, a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And we thank thee that that way is Jesus Christ. We pray that as the word is preached this evening, that thou wilt speak to our hearts, open our minds to divine truth, and awaken those that are lost in sin, and bring them to reality, bring them face to face with the issues of life and death and eternity. And may this be the preparation night, for thou hast said, prepare to meet thy God. And Lord, we're conscious that in this meeting there are those who have not made that preparation, and they are still without thee. Lord, may they heed thy command tonight, and prepare to meet God by coming to Jesus Christ. Give help now from on high. Give us the Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at verse 2, the words that we have here recorded by inspiration that the old man Isaac spoke so many, many centuries ago, I want to speak on the subject, the day of my death. And Isaac is thinking about the day of his death when he speaks these words. Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. I know not the day of my death. The Bible speaks about several great days of absolute certainty. There is the day of one's birth, that moment when you came forth into the world and you were born. The Bible speaks about our birthday. The Bible also speaks about the day of the Lord, something that is yet to happen, pointing to the future. A day of darkness, a day of gloominess, Joel tells us. A day when Jesus will come again. How dreadful a day that will be for those who are not prepared. And the Bible speaks over and over again, Old Testament and New, about such a day. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord will come. God's word also speaks about the day of judgment. That solemn day when all men will stand before the Lord. The believer, I understand through the reading of the scripture, coming to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of their service rendered unto the Lord's name. A day of reward. And then for the unbeliever before the great white throne of judgment. That day that again is a very solemn day when Jesus Christ, the judge of all men, will be seated upon the majestic throne of glory, described in the book of the Revelation as the great white throne. When all men will be summoned to stand there from all eras of history, from all parts of the world. All men who ever lived and died without Jesus Christ. And they will be called to the judgment bower on the day of judgment. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. The Bible also speaks about the day of salvation. And the day of salvation is the period of time in which we're living. The age of grace, when we have the opportunity to seek the Lord while he may be found and to call upon him while he's near. There's coming a time when that day of opportunity will cease. When we will not be able to seek the Lord, when we will not feel his presence near to us, those who are not saved in this meeting. But praise God, we're living in the day of salvation and you can be saved tonight. The word of God also speaks about the day that Isaac identifies here, the day of our death, the day when we're going to leave this life. Isaac, the aged patriarch, is contemplating such a time in his existence when his existence will come to a conclusion. I think he's feeling a little bit sorry for himself. He's a fair age. He's 137 when he speaks these words. Some of you are old in this meeting, but you're not that old. And we have had funerals recently, and we have celebrated the lives of those who knew the Lord, who've gone now into eternity and gone home to heaven. And some of them have been a fair age. Harold Pilling, last Lord's Day, was buried. He was 94. Raymond's father today, 98. These are tremendous ages, and very, very few in this meeting will ever see their 90s. And I'm sure very few will see getting to 100. But here's a man, and he's 137. And he's feeling his years. And no doubt he's feeling the burden of those years. And he feels that he's going to die very soon. Because friend after friend was departing. His younger brother, Ishmael, has been dead for 14 years. His eyes were dim, his sight was poor. In fact, he couldn't see. Dim eyes, feeble limbs, loss of memory, all contributed to the way that he's feeling at this time. And he has a deathbed request. Even though he would live for many more years, Isaac thought he was on his deathbed. And he thought the time was very short for him and was running out. And very soon he was going to take that journey of all journeys out into eternity. And he has a request as he contemplates his death. And so he sends for Esau, his son, and he says to Esau, I am old. I don't know how long I've got to go. I don't know when I'm going to die. I want you to take your weapons and go and hunt for me venison and make me savory meat such as I love, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. But death was not really very near. In fact, as you study the Bible, you will discover that he lived for another 43 years. So he had a very long deathbed experience, didn't he? But he lived on. Nevertheless, the statement that he makes in our text is absolutely correct and most challenging. I know not the day of my death. Whether or not it was going to be near or far, Isaac didn't know when he was going to die. And these words can be repeated by any one of us tonight in this meeting. Whether you're young or old, I know not the day of my death. I don't know when I'm going to die. And that being the case, the all-important consideration is, how is it with your soul? You've got a body that's going to die, a body that will cease to function one day. The heart is going to beat for the last time. The blood that flows through your arteries and veins will cease to flow. The oxygen that is taken in through your lungs into your body, one day that will cease to be. You'll breathe no more. You will die. Your body will die. But how was it with your soul? For you have a precious, never-dying soul within that body, within your tabernacle tonight. And how is it with your soul? Are you ready for death? Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready for the life to come? Are you ready for the great journey? I do not know when I'm going to die. Therefore, it is imperative that I know that I'm ready to die, that I'm right with God, and that I'm bound for heaven, the eternal home of the believer. The day, the solemn day of my death. I want you to think about it tonight. And I trust that the Lord will cause us all to think seriously about it and live in the light of it. Notice with me, first of all, as we think of the solemn day of death, notice the reality, or rather the undeniable day. It is a real thing. You can't deny it. Isaac could not deny that such a day was going to overtake him sooner or later. And the subject of death is on his mind and his heart. He was thinking to himself, I'm going to die. And it's not a bad reality to ponder in your mind. I'm not suggesting to you that you should go through every hour of every day thinking about the day of your death. But I am suggesting that you should do what Isaac did, and you should consider it at least at some time. There ought to be occasions when you chew it over in your mind, and you ponder it in your soul, that day when you're going to die, for nothing is more certain. You've made plans for the future, no doubt, but nothing is more certain than keeping this appointment of death. Only a fool thinks he's going to live forever. Only a fool ignores the subject of death. Only a fool puts its reality out of the mind. Only a fool shuts his eyes to this truth. Only a fool promises himself tomorrow. Last Lord's Day evening, we were thinking about those words recorded for us in the book of James in the chapter 4. The businessmen that James speaks about who were presumptuously preparing for the future, but they hadn't thought about death, they hadn't thought about eternity. Let me just read those verses to you again. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Isaac did not boast about the future. Isaac was not boasting about tomorrow. No, he knew that he was going to die. He didn't close this truth out of his mind. And nobody can deny the reality of death. It will come for us all. I want you to waken up in this meeting and face this truth. One day, the angel of death is going to come knocking on your door. And that's the call that you're going to have to answer. There's others come to our doors, and we can choose whether or not we answer the call. But here's a caller that's going to come. One that is described as the angel of death. And when he comes knocking, we will answer that call. There's no doubt about it. One day, God will say, your time is up. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do to change that, to alter it in any way. One day the Lord will call your soul from your body, and that is a call that you will obey. This is undeniable. You can't get away from it. You can't stop it happening. The Bible proclaims this day. Over and over again through the scriptures, we are reminded that we're going to die. You remember, you will recall perhaps those words in 2 Samuel chapter 14, the words of the wise woman, where in verse 14 she says, "For we must needs die." And then she uses the illustration or the analogy of water. We are like water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. God is no respecter of persons when it comes to death. And this woman speaks these words, words that are so true for us all. We must needs die. We'll die someday. Or you might think of the words that are recorded in Job chapter 30 and verse 23. Job, in the midst of all his trials and his sufferings, he thought often about the day of his death, and he knew with certainty that he would die. And this is what he says in verse 23 of chapter 30. He says, "For I know, no doubt whatsoever about it, I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." It's a certainty. Or you might think, as we consider how the Bible proclaims this truth, of the Psalm 49 and verse 10. "But he saith that the wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others." Or what about Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8? "The wise king said, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." No man has the power over the spirit in the day of death. Try as we may to hold back our spirit leaving these bodies of ours, we haven't got the ability. We haven't got the power to do it. It will leave. The Bible proclaims it. You go to the New Testament over and over again, we find the same truth proclaimed. "Wherefore, as by one man," Romans chapter 5 verse 12, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And one other reference, Hebrews 9 and 27, "It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." The Bible proclaims it. History proves it. Where is Adam, the first man? Where is Abraham, the great patriarch, the father of the faithful? Where is Isaac, the very man who mentions these words of our text? Where is David, the king? Where is Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? Where is Peter and James and John and the great apostle Paul? Where is Calvin and Knox and Whitfield and Spurgeon and Nicholson, these great men of the past? I tell you, my friends, death has come and stolen them all away. One by one, their seats were emptied. One by one, they went away. History proves the certainty, the reality of death. It's undeniable. The Bible proclaims it. History proves it. Reality presents it. Look around you. Look around you. Constantly. We are bombarded by the stern fact of death. The obituary columns every day in the newspaper proclaim loudly that death is sure. And when you lift the paper, you will read the names of those who have passed out into eternity. There was a preacher who used to read the daily newspaper. I don't know why he did this, but he read the obituary columns to see if his name was there. Every day he did that. Of course, if he had a pass into eternity, he wouldn't be reading the newspaper. But he used to read it just to see if his name was in the obituary column. And those lists of names are telling us something, that death is real. And my friends, when you think of the tombstones and the graveyards and the cemeteries, and some of you have stood in them today, stood in them recently, And we look around the headstones and we read the names and the inscriptions that are there. And we stand in the presence of death. It's all telling us the same truth, that death is sure, death is real. It's an undeniable day. The empty chairs in our homes of loved ones that once were but are now no longer. They're gone. The familiar voice that we used to listen to, we hear it no more. For out into eternity they've gone. And all these things are proclaiming to us death is real. An undeniable day. The Bible proclaims it. History proves it. Reality presents it. Sorrow points to it. I cannot deny the sorrow felt in the hearts of those who lose their loved ones and their friends. I cannot deny the pain, the tears, the grief, the sadness, the brokenness of heart, the rending of the heart that is experienced. It's real. I remember a number of years ago, I was only a student, but I was asked to assist in a funeral service. It was a little baby of 6 months. And I can remember going into that home and looking up the little corpse in the coffin, the little casket that was there, and then looking at the mother in great distress. Her heart was broken. Her little child, her little infant child had been taken. And I tell you, my friends, her grief was real, and her grief was pointing to the reality of death. I recall that day when a young boy of 8 down in Lochgall, his name was Philip Calvin, he was tragically killed. I've talked about him before. I was asked to share in that funeral. And I can remember going into the Calvin home. And again, this little boy, he was only 8 years of age. And as the family gathered and I stood and I watched them and I looked on, I observed their grief. I saw their sorrow of heart because their child had been taken. Death is real. And there have been times in my pastoral duties when I've had to go to certain homes and break the news that their loved one has been taken in death. And the immediate response of grief and tears. Death is real. Many times we've gone into the house of mourning. Many times we have followed the hearse. Numerous times we've stood around the open grave. And no one, not one of us tonight, can deny that it's real. Death, the day of death, is undeniable. But you know, secondly, the day of death is unavoidable. It's an unavoidable day. Isaac was a good man. Isaac came from a godly family. Isaac was of the chosen seed of Abraham. He was wonderfully blessed by God. He knew the Lord. He was a noted patriarch. He was a rich man, divinely blessed with prosperity. He was a spiritual man, a man of prayer, a worshipper at the altar of God. He was a man who was blessed with health and long life. But all this could not keep away death. Good men die. Godly men die. Rich men die. Chosen men die. Healthy men die. You cannot avoid the day of your death. It is an appointment that you must keep. There in the calendar of God, unknown to us, is the day of our death. That appointment that we're going to keep one day. Money is no guarantee of holding back our soul when the appointed day arrives. You know, Jairus, that we read about in the Bible, was a very rich man. But his little daughter died. And I'm sure he would have given everything that he had, all his wealth, just to prevent his darling daughter of 12 going out into eternity. But you see, my friends, riches cannot buy back your soul. No guarantee that you'll not face death. And health is no guarantee either. The rich farmer had his health, the farmer that you read about in Luke's Gospel chapter 12. We have every reason to believe that he was a healthy man. And you can be full of vitality and you can have bodily fitness, but it doesn't stop your dying. Healthy men die. And comfort is no guarantee that you'll not face death. The rich man of Luke 16, he had money, he had health, and he had comfort. Every comfort that you can think about. He had plenty to eat. The Lord Jesus tells us that he fared sumptuously every day. He had the best of garments. Jesus tells us how he was clothed in fine linen, purple and fine linen, that which is identified with nobility and position. He had a beautiful home. He lived in a mansion. He had every delightful thing, but it didn't prevent him dying. The rich man also died and was buried. My dear friends, money, health, the comforts of this life will not stop you dying either. A good family is no guarantee that you'll not face death. Lazarus of Bethany came from a good family. It was a lovely home. It was a home that had a high regard for the Saviour. A home that worshipped the Lord. It was a home that Jesus loved to visit. It's not the kind of home you would like to have. A place where Jesus loves to be. And when the Saviour passed by Bethany, that was the place where he stayed. That's where he made his lodgings. It was a good home. And there we find Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they loved the Lord dearly. And the Lord Jesus loved them too. In fact, whenever Lazarus was sick, the sisters sent for the Lord to come. And they had this message, "He whom thou lovest is sick." And they were appealing for the Lord to come quickly while Lazarus was ill. But it didn't prevent the death of Lazarus. Lazarus had a good home, but he died. And youth is no guarantee that you'll not face death. We've spoken of Jairus' daughter. She was only a little girl of 12. Whenever I was growing up in our Portadown church, there were a number of us who felt the call of God in our lives. We wanted to go to Bible college, and some of us did. But there was a young man, David Greenaway, and he felt the call of God into the ministry, but at the age of 16, he was killed in a tragic motorbike accident. And you and I tonight can think about young people who have died, people in their teens, people in their early 20s, and have gone out into eternity, and youth did not stop their dying. When God says your time is up, there's nothing that you can do. It's an unavoidable day. But then thirdly and finally, it's an uncertain day. And this is what Isaac is speaking about. I know not the day of my death. Isaac knew that he was going to die, but he didn't know when. And that was a great problem. A great problem especially to those who know not the Lord. Isaac decides to make his will and declare Esau to be his heir. And so he calls in his eldest son with the intention of conferring his blessing upon him. He acknowledges that he's an old man. He says in verse 2, "Behold, now I am old." We've told you already he was 137 at this time. Therefore he feels that he must die shortly, that he must leave this life. But he not only confesses that he's old, but he confesses that he doesn't know when he's going to die. "I'm going to die, but I don't know when." He thought that the end was near, but he didn't know. In fact, he lived on, as I've said to you, another 30 or 43 years after he makes this statement. But he didn't know that he had all those years before him. "I know not the day of my death. It is certain that we shall die. It is certain that we shall leave this life. It is certain that we shall go the way of all flesh. We will go down to the grave. We will enter eternity. We will meet Almighty God. We will stand at the judgment. But the day is uncertain. When it will be, I know not." I think of old people tonight. Doesn't do any harm to remind yourself in your old age that you're going to die someday. You have infirmity of years. The years are upon you. You're not getting any younger. And you're nearer the end than you are the beginning. And there's nothing more certain than death. Whatever else is going to happen, this day will soon overtake all plans. But you don't know when that's going to be. And if you're not saved in this meeting and you're an older person, that poses a great problem. You have one foot in the grave, as it were, but you're not ready for the grave. You're not ready for eternity. You're not prepared to meet the Lord. And that's a very solemn thing. And I think of young people in this meeting tonight, because you can speak the words of this text. I can speak it. You can speak it, no matter how young you are. I know not the day of my death. There is an old saying, I'm sure you've heard it before. The old must die, the young may die. Young people, with all your plans, with all your future before you potentially, with all your ambitions, with all your potential years, with all your health, with all your prospects, consider death. Don't leave this reality out of the equation. Don't shut your mind to this truth. And so therefore, in the light of it, are you prepared? Are you ready? That's an important question. To die unconverted is to die without hope, to die without mercy, to die without forgiveness. To die unconverted is to step over the precipice of a lost eternity and go down into the caverns of the damned forevermore. How awful that death is for those who believe not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Choose life. Choose life tonight. The only safe way to face death is as one who is saved. That you know Jesus Christ. That you have in him the answer for your sin. Sin that condemns you. The Bible says you're condemned already. Sin that's taking you out into a lost eternity where you will be tormented forevermore. Where you will undergo the punishment for sin in the everlasting caverns of the damned. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and there upon Golgotha's brow, he, as the Bible tells us, died the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. He died a death of substitution, took my place. All that I deserved as a sinner, all that I should have undergone for eternity, all that hell means for the lost, Jesus there at the cross of Calvary bore it all on my behalf when sin was laid upon him. And if I come in faith and repentance to him, and I take him as my Savior, and I believe on him for everlasting life, thank God I shall be saved. And that is the way to face death. You know the psalmist David, and probably the psalm of all psalms when we consider death. He spoke about the shepherd who would be with him in that time. And he had the confidence that the Savior that he had come to know. And there's a wonderful sequence there in the Psalms, because the Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the cross. And you read it carefully, and there's so many expressions there that deal with the cross and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And David, who wrote Psalm 22 and knew the Savior who died upon the cross of that Psalm, he's able to pen the words of the Psalm 23, knowing the shepherd also. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I know not the day of my death, but do I know I'm ready tonight? Do I know I'm prepared to meet God? Ready for the journey of all journeys. Let's bow together before the Lord. O God, our Father, in these recent days we've been faced with death. Death coming to the church family. Loved ones being taken out into eternity. Some of them very old indeed, comparatively. Some of them young enough. But meeting that same end, going out into eternity. We thank thee, Lord, for these ones recently who have died because they've gone to be with the Lord, which is far better. And they were ready, and they were prepared, and they have the answer in the person of Christ and his wonderful work at the cross. O God, speak to every heart. Teach us all to number our days and to apply our hearts to wisdom. Help us to live for the Lord, those of us who are saved, to redeem the time for the days are evil, to make every minute of every day count for thee. Help us, Lord, to labour for eternity, setting eternal values before us. And for those that know not the Lord, challenge them tonight. When we think of what Isaac said, how true it is for them too. I know not the day of my death. How can they face death without thee? O God, in mercy, come and show them that they must be saved. They must be ready for death. That they need to have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who bore away the sin of the world. And Lord, may this be the night when they'll come to trust thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.